Welcome back to your next favorite episode of the Into Greatness podcast with Jason and Jolene. I am Jason.
I'm Jolene.
And this is kind of part two of our chat with Val. Last week it was all about the yoga. This week we're talking something that I know nothing about.
I disagree.
Okay, you know, I might know some things, but not like off the top of my head. I couldn't just pull out a bunch of information on
it. You know lots about energy.
I know tons about energy.
This is no different than
Okay, yes. Perfect. Yep. Val's clapping already.
Val's like, yeah, that's right.
But both of you are like trained in Reiki, which I think is really cool. So I'll probably just step back for a bit and make sure the audio doesn't shut off. Perfect. And you guys can talk. Val, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, we're excited. I'm excited. We had a great chat last week about yoga. And we hope a whole bunch of people, including men, will go to yoga now.
How was your downward facing dog?
3 minutes.
3 whole minutes.
But I guess first, so Val, explain to us a bit what Reiki is and why you were interested in that. I'm sure it's an offshoot of just your general interest in this whole subject matter in terms of health and fitness.
Well, I want to talk a little bit first just about my first experience with energy or acknowledging energy first.
Please.
So I was 14 years old and my mom bought me a ticket to an intuitive workshop. And we did lots of different things throughout the day. But at the beginning of the day, we picked a crystal that we resonated with and we held onto that crystal all day long.
What was your crystal?
I was 14. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But at the end of the day, we partnered up and we exchanged crystals. So in a sense, I was holding onto their energy. And they were holding on to mine.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I was blindfolded and placed in a center of a circle, and everyone else was around me in that circle. They moved around, so I didn't know where anyone was, and I had to find my partner based on feeling without vision. And I literally felt her walk behind me and move over to the right. And they're like, okay, we're ready, find your partner. And I went over to her and it was just like this magnetic pull that drew me to her. And I took a couple steps to the left and it felt light. It felt, you know, normal. And I went back, lifted up my blindfold, and it was her.
Ha. I love
that's
that.
Wild. How many
other people got it right? Do you remember?
No one.
Boom. Wow. What a powerful experience.
It was. And I didn't realize at the time the significance of it because I was 14. I was, you know, hormonal. But looking back on it, it's one of my most favorite stories to tell because it really, and the thing is we have all experienced this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt someone look at you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. From across the room.
So what is that?
It's energy.
Yeah, it's energy, it's intuitiveness, it's also, it's an energetic match, right? Like, I just explained this to somebody who's going on this trip, and anyways, just about the synchronic, like, connections we can have with people, and I'm like, it's a knowing, it's a feeling. Like, you can have 100 people look at you, but you can feel that one person, and they will become clear, the rest will become noise in the background. There's, like you said, that magnetic pull. If we really quiet things enough, if we really get into a place of stillness, regulate our nervous system so we're not jacked up getting all of these different signals, we can feel into all of these things that our other senses totally miss.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. We are energetic beings living a human experience.
Yes. Oh, I love that. And I love that that's a core memory for you that you didn't realize the importance of until later. But I feel like in life, when we go back in retrospect, we can see these little foreshadows, these little seeds that were planted on our journey. And you're like, oh, that was my first chance to bite at that. And I just wasn't ready yet. Timing is everything.
It is, yes.
Cool.
And like in that, in Reiki, so it translates to universal life force energy. Now, do we know what that means? Do you know what that means?
I just think of Star Wars. That was the whole point. It was an energy field that surrounds us and penetrates us and binds everybody together. And I think it's Lucas was onto something way ahead of his time in Western culture. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's just that energy. We are all part of one core being, really, energy field.
Yes, every single thing on this planet is made from atoms. We are foundationally created with the same foundation. So we're able to connect to ourselves, to that higher consciousness that created us.
Oh. It's wild. We've talked about this in our minimalist podcast around how everything that we touch, I'm knocking on the desk, everything is a bunch of like millions of atoms vibrating, like little molecules vibrating together to exist as a solid substance. We know this from physics, right? Yes. So that's the thing, is when we have like, when we've got hoarded spaces and things like that, you literally have that much energy vibrating around you. We talk about anxiety. We talk about how when we can minimize our spaces and declutter, we literally feel less agitated, less distracted, less activated as a nervous system level. So when we take that concept and realize, yes, we are energy existing amongst energy, this is now a way that we channel energy and into a way that is intentional, healing-based, and expansive in those ways. So a lot of people will talk about Reiki energy as like healing touch from back in the day. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that was like old school word for it, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So universal life energy, this energy that flows through everything. As a practitioner, this has been a journey for me. When I first started Reiki, I had this expectation that I placed on myself that I was healing someone, mm-hmm. which is not the case.
Right?
It is not my job to heal anyone but myself. But putting that expectation on myself a lot just made me feel burnt out. I wasn't fully in that connection of source because I just put too much on myself. But in time, I've realized that when we are facilitating a Reiki session, we are a channel of this energy. So yes. We are drawing the energy in from the crown of the head, from the universe, in through the body, and it overflows from our body and into the space around us. And that is where our energy fields start to connect.
Oh.
Yeah, we become the channel for it, which is so powerful. We don't hold it. It travels through.
It travels through us. So we are also receiving a Reiki session mm-hmm. while we are giving. And it's beautiful because our heart chakra is that center of giving and receiving. And our hands are an extension of our heart chakra. So as we lay hands or above or on the body, it is an extension of that heart.
So something else people, and I don't know what kind of Reiki you're trained in. So my core, like level one and two is Yasui Reiki, but also I'm trained like in Holy Fire Reiki. So that's what I was attuned with. And that is very distance based as well. Mm. So there are distance symbols that we use, and the Reiki does not need to be delivered via touching the body or being with somebody on, say, a massage table or things like that. So for my practice, being 100% online for 2 years through COVID, I was able to deliver my healing energy and use Reiki by having my crystal grid, which is where I charge the Reiki energy, my collective that follows me here on my professional page, in my workshops, people who engage with me on a one-to-one, they are a part of that collective healing. And I will often offer energy to that healing grid for the collective, but I can deliver that healing via distance. And that comes out through my voice. So when I record meditations, it's in there, right? It's an extension of how you exist, what you say, what you do, how you flow through your day. So you don't even have to be touching somebody. And this is where, like, it's kind of a mind trip, right? Like, I can either connect through stones, through sort of connecting with other people's energetic bodies across the world. It's wild.
And that, like, don't quote me because I'm just learning more about this, but like quantum physics.
Yes.
It touches base into that, it's, and it's
mind-blowing.
Well, and when you were talking sort of about taking the energy in, like how you're a conduit mm-hmm. through it, that's like mediumship, old school mediumship too, right? That's, you know, and my background.
And that is what I learned in mediumship is like you do not become like the storage house for it. It simply goes through, goes through, goes through, right?
Spirit don't will talk through.
Yeah. And I often have to boundary that and say, like, don't use my body, because I will pick up a lot of somatic symptoms from whatever spirit is saying happened to them or whatever's happening that way. So body work for me is really important because the ailments I have aren't always mine for that reason.
100%.
And that's often where we will get intuitive and energetic feedback from the people we're working with. And during an actual counseling session with me, I can feel where people's trauma is activated. And I'll say, whether they're in person or online, I'll say like, how is your solar plexus right now? Or like, what's happening in your neck or your throat? What's happening? And they're like, oh my God, like it's killing me right now. And because I can feel that in my body. And it's just a way that for me, how I attuned to what was going on. And it's another way, the same way I can hear their story, I can feel and attune to what's happening with them. But I have to keep that fluid and not hold it. Right? So there's different ways. And that's why I honestly think, so I started intentionally working with Reiki energy when I realized that my EMDR work, which is something I would use my hand for, they would follow back and forth with my hand and stuff, or I would tap. People would say like, I've had EMDR before, but it doesn't feel like this. Yours feels differently. And when I went online, I noticed that my computer would glitch when I was doing certain things very consistently. And then spirit really started interfering with me. And Jason knows the electronic issues. Mm-hmm. You know, even my boyfriend, he's like a huge techie guy. And he's like, you don't make sense to me. Like the things your phone does, like none of these things make sense from like a techie perspective. My watch does weird things. He even bought me a new watch because it would show tomorrow's time for no reason or not. And I have the same issues with this watch. I'm like, it's not the watch. But what I started to notice is like something's happening from an energy perspective here. And I want to do this more responsibly and more intentionally. So that's why I trained in Reiki, because I knew I was manipulating energy, but I didn't know what I was doing. So that's why I started doing it. So now people receive not only the clinical expertise that I have and that training, but they're receiving whole body healing from me. Where energetically, as they're processing at like a neurological point, they also receive the energetic healing in their energy body. And in those ways, it is a like 4-for-1 session, essentially.
Sign me up.
Right? That's the problem, though. I'm overbooked, overworked. There's this whole balance I was telling you about. That's the problem. I have a massive wait list for that reason. But when you're conducting your yoga classes, people receive your Reiki in that space. They are receiving all of that at the same time.
And that's the thing. Like, before you even did your Reiki training, you were already a yes. conduit. And same with me. As I was practicing yoga, I was channeling this consciousness and this state of flow and movement of energy through my body. And so we all have access to this energy. We just need to kind of tune into it a little bit more. And that's what the training does. It helps us reconnect to our power that is already there.
So how does that work? How do you do that? Like, let's say an example.
Yeah. So in the training, you have attunements. Okay. So the person who is facilitating the trainer, usually the master, they like essentially you go on sort of a meditation journey and they will attune you to the Reiki energy at different stages, whether it's level 1, level 2, level 3, right? I'll let you chat a little bit more about that though, Val.
Yeah. I mean, so you get attuned. There are these symbols that Reiki has as well.
You have.
I used to have.
Yeah. You had a necklace.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
It was spiritual and emotional Saheki. Healing. Yes,
Saheki. It was Saheki, yeah. which is mental and emotional healing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you used to wear it. Yeah, I remember when we very first met for the podcast, I was like, oh my God, there's a Reiki symbol around his neck.
Did you know it was
he a Reiki symbol?
I did not. This is something I picked up in Canada Day because I like the look of it.
So you were actually,
I have no idea where it is.
And you were channeling that symbol the whole time. So that was the mental and emotional healing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saheki. So yes.
Yes. And I mean, we can think about that for anything, whether, you know, we pick up a crystal or we use the symbol, like we can really channel anything for that intention.
Yes. Right?
Intention of emotional healing, of physical healing. We don't need the necklace. We don't need the crystal. We have the power to do that. But how do we do that?
Yes, that is the question. How do we do that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good question.
So, yeah, for myself, like the gas home meditation, did you learn that one? So, yes. Again, I don't know what's different from the holy fire that I did versus what other folks have done, but they're all based on Yusui training as well. It's just a different frequency of, I think, Christ consciousness, to be honest, something like that, honestly. So you learn theory. There's a whole Reiki book that goes way back to the day. And these symbols, Jay, were never, they weren't actually duplicated anywhere. You weren't allowed to write them down. you were only allowed to like know them. They weren't things that were duplicated. So the original symbols are still kind of altered because they're the recollection of what they were. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So you'll see different versions of them. But essentially, there are some core symbols that you'll use. Like I said, there's a distance symbol that I learned, which is how to then expand it past physical touch, essentially, right? And you can use your hand to make the symbols in the air. You can make them on your palms. You can make them in your mind. You can even just connect with the symbol in your head. And if you are well attuned in that state, because I lose my connection with it and gain it depending on how much meditation, how much intention, how much I work with the energy. Okay. That's the biggest one. And then I can sometimes just visualize that symbol and it will call that symbol in. So Val, for you, what does that practice look like for you?
Well, when I first started doing Reiki, I didn't use the symbols at all, actually. I just actually redid my training. I did level 1 and 2 in 2019. And then a few months ago, I redid my level 1, 2, and I did my master. Mm-hmm. So for me, I make sure that my feet are grounded. Like I energetically draw my feet to the earth. I'm receiving earth energy. And I also receive energy from the crown of my head. So we bring the connection up to spirit, up to universe, right? So our lower chakras are connected to earth and our upper chakras are connected to spirit. And to manifestation and more ethereal, you know, mental aspects. So we're connecting to earth and to spirit, and we are channeling energy. And I use my breath a lot. So I'm starting to connect to the present moment, to my breath. I start to feel that energy flow in from the crown of my head through my body. I stay grounded. And honestly, it's just like, you just feel this vibration. Mm-hmm. And the more you practice, of course, the easier it becomes. You could practice by bringing your palms close to each other, you know, finding a little bit of movement, seeing if you can feel that energy between the palms, you know, and then over time, you just start to feel that through your body. Have you ever experienced anything like that through yoga, like through moving and breathing, that sense of like flow through the body?
Yeah, flow and even and like tingles. a building of energy. Like, you know, you can kind of feel things, the energy just building up in your body in a way. I felt like that kind of, and when we do Om, like when we do the Om at the end, I can definitely feel like that, the whole group connective energy coming together.
And for you, Jay, in your paranormal work, right? Like we feel energy around us. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between my intuitive guidance and like my Reiki energy and mediumship stuff. So if you guys could see me right now, you would see that I'm pointing to the crown of my head, like Val had said. That's when it kind of connects from up top. Anything mediumship based for me comes in the sides. It comes in the side of my ears. It comes in from a different place, even pressure wise, like my ears will get pressure and things like that. Up top, top of the crown is, I know, more my intuitive type stuff. So you get to know your body differently, right? So when you're investigating spaces and houses, that's a feeling. Mm-hmm. You're starting to connect with outside energies, existence around you. But then you also have this intuitive knowing of like, we need to go to this room over here. We need to go to this space. So you're constantly playing with a little bit of that as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if in your yoga practice, you cultivated your own inner energy kind of piece, right?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. So a lot of Reiki is intention based.
Yeah.
Very much intention based. So as a practitioner, it's about what you're doing, where you're placing your hands, you know, using like if, for example, in sessions with me, if people are saying like, oh, you know, when I think of this event, it, you know, brings up queasiness in my belly. I was 7 years old, blah, blah, blah. I will intentionally request that I will focus Reiki energy. As I'm talking to them, I'll just be like, Kate, send the healing to the stomach area. And if you were physically with me and lying on a table, I would obviously hold my hands over or on that area of the body until that energy cleared. And that's a feeling that you have. And sometimes we get visions. So do you do hands-on Reiki? Like, is that a part of your practice?
Yeah.
So do you have other things? And often I find people who work with energy, and it, once you open the door for one thing, it just naturally opens them for the rest, which is obviously what's happened in your journey as well. But like sometimes we get visions, right? And we get messages of what's happening in that space. Mm-hmm. And you just have this knowing. And that is, again, the deeper you are connected with yourself, the more you become the conduit to what that person's body and guides are telling you to, or and sending you to in their body, in their place, right?
Yes, 100%. And I open myself to receive, but I also don't put the expectation on myself to receive as well, mm-hmm. right? Like Reiki in and itself is so powerful with just kind of overriding those lower frequencies. So if something does come to me, great. But if not, it's all good.
It's all good.
I'm reading this book right now called Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza. Have you heard it?
I have not, but I suddenly feel like I must read it.
It is amazing. He's a scientist, and he talks about energy and how science-based it is. And he started talking about how emotions are energy in motion. Mm-hmm. And how different emotions vibrate at a different frequency. So if we're always in a state of stress and anxiety or anger, we vibrate at those levels. That becomes our biomagnetic field. And that is what we start attracting more of. So in Reiki, we are channeling this higher vibration, and always the higher vibration wins, right? So we are now bringing that new energy into their field.
So it's kind of like the whole law of attraction concept, you know, like sort of you know how people, like, when you're at a place in your life, if it's feeling a certain way, you seem to attract people that feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like if you're an angry person, next thing you know, most of your friends are angry people. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that. It's control, learning how to control that energy flow.
Yes. Exactly. And essentially, like, if I'm on a certain radio station, so my frequency is at a certain, I call it a radio station, and you were at the same frequency, we're hearing the same song. But sometimes when people start their healing journeys, or they're aligning a bit more with themselves, they might increase their healing frequency or their emotional frequency level, and suddenly they're at 98.3 and you're at 97.5. And this is why people don't feel aligned with their friendships or partnerships or whatever anymore. That's how I see it. So I've pulled up the emotional vibration chart, and that's exactly what Val's talking about. So enlightenment is about like 700 plus, I think, what are these, like hertz or megahertz or something? Peace, joy, love. We go down on the system. And it's funny because they start at purple and they move down to red, which is the same as the chakra system, essentially. But at the bottom, we've got shame, guilt, apathy, grief. Anger, it's funny, is in the middle, give or take, right? Because anger is still a very charged emotion. So yes, it's a negative emotion, but it's still a charged emotion, okay? Apathy, guilt, shame are at the lower frequencies because they actually withdraw us. They make us recoil. They make us sort of avoid in those sort of ways. So that's sort of what Val is talking about there. And I feel like the guy's name was Tesla. It's not... Like, I feel like the guy's name is Tesla, who created this energy vibrational chart that Dispenza's working with. So if people are curious about that, just Google emotional vibration chart and you'll see what she's talking about there. But essentially, this is the, you know, the cliche lingo of like, oh, raise your vibration, right? And there is science behind it. And I'm a science buff, which is why I loved the theory behind Reiki. There is a book, there is theory. You understand where things play out. And I think Eastern medicine, which is where a lot of this originated from, I'm a huge fan of traditional Chinese medicine approaches to things. There is so much wisdom, billions of years of wisdom there, on top of like what we even touch in Western culture. So you get to know the history of this, practically where this plays out, like tangibly, like you can touch the facts of this. This is not just some fluffy theory. So I love when we legitimize things with science because, again, Jay and I, this is what we play on here, right? We take the fluffy stuff, just like our astrology conversations, and we turn it into science because it fucking is, you guys. It is. And I think by deflecting people away from that, we literally take away people's biggest superpowers. We all have the ability to channel this energy. And we all have it. We're blocked from accessing it, though. Mm-hmm. So when we attune to the Reiki energy and things like that, I honestly see us just opening the door to it finally. It's there. It's sitting. It's sitting in the yard ready to hang out, you know? But most people are like, no, it's not. Right? I'm not interested, right?
It is just opening the doors and being open to the fact that we are. And that's why it takes a little bit of time for people to feel the shifts, because we've been in those such low states for so long, maybe our whole life.
Yeah.
So I work with people, and you know, their first session, you know, it was good. You know, okay. Hope to see you again. They come back, second session, completely different sensations that they experienced, you know, like their nervous system was really able to connect with it.
The other thing is that people are going to be guarded the same way they are in a therapy office, the same way they are when you're doing some work with them. Like wherever people have emotional blocks, trust, like you have to cultivate trust. If mm-hmm. somebody's accessing our energy system, we got to trust that. So mm-hmm. there are a lot of things that will block people from receiving. That's why with Reiki energy, we're talking to their higher self. And their physical self might be reluctant to, but we always ask their higher self. And this is why we can do distance healing and stuff with people who aren't even aware of it sometimes, because we'll request that their higher self receive it if it feels comfortable or not. And if it doesn't, then it'll just reject it. No, there's no harm done, right? So it's about using it for the right intentions. Of course, we have black magic and voodoo dolls and all this stuff, which essentially you can use the same stuff, mm-hmm. but with, you know, ill intentions, just like anything in this world, right? And so again, it's about using it with pure healing, good intentions, essentially. And really just having sort of that foundational piece is a big one. But I would say on the receiving end, it is a trust piece, and like how open the body and the psyche is to experiencing that. And sometimes it's simply about cultivating trust. And even people who are skeptics, as long as you trust or you're open to it, you can just really open the door to that process.
Very cool.
Yeah. There was something else that I was going to say as I was talking there. So when I don't know what your experience was, Val, but for me, when I did my Reiki attunement, my training, I went through a lot of, and I don't know if this was specifically the holy fire energy that we were using, but purification was a huge one. And I actually had massive migraines. I had to really, like, it came in so powerfully, but it also, like, there was a purge in my physical body. There was, like, I would have migraines and have to, like, really tend to it using herbs and things like that, and allow myself, like, drinking tons of water, because again, that is like that is how the energy moves through us. So always making sure my physical body is like ready to receive, because it, just like you can blow a breaker by having too much energy go into it, that for me is my biggest thing. And that happens when I start to see a new client and there's too much stuff coming at me from them. I can just like, boom, it's migraines for me. That's my biggest one. And I'm like, I got to actually close my doors a bit and be like, you can't come in that strong. Like you have to buffer that. And that's just my rule with spirit or energy in general. And I can't always buffer that, because sometimes it's just so much. But that was what I noticed with my physical body, is there was a lot of purification that happened during those attunements.
Yeah, me too. I was exhausted. Like for me, it was more fatigue and just like feeling so drained. And then out of that fatigue, I was like, okay, now I feel better. But it took
I always wonder when people are thrown into sickness or slow down, like your injuries, Jay, and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wonder if fatigue for you was simply throwing you into a surrendered state so you could receive.
Yeah.
And you couldn't fight it with extra energy. And for me, that's what the migraines do. It's the one thing that will shut me down, because I physically can't see anymore. Like I have to go in a dark room and lie down. Otherwise, if I just have a headache, I'll just keep working through it.
Right.
So it's a way to kind of flatten you to receive and then integrate what that new energy level is. Yeah, that's very interesting.
So, Val, we didn't do this at the end of the last episode. If people want to learn more about you or book a session with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, so I am on the Jane app. My business is called Valkyrie Spirit. So it's V-A-L-K-Y-R-I-E, Valkyrie Spirit. And you can find me on janeapp.com.
I like that.
Also, I have my Instagram that you can follow me at Valkyrie Spirit, and it has my booking link there as well.
And you will find her on our Instagram as a partner and collaborator on these posts. So definitely check that out. The other thing is maybe we can just take a moment and encourage people to attempt to connect with their source of energy right now. So maybe if everybody can just close their eyes for a moment, unless you're driving.
Yeah, please don't.
You can do it later. But just take a minute, right? Just really kind of ground yourself. Val, do you want to walk them through just a little quick way that they can ground themselves and just feel a connection to some kind of vibrational energy within themselves?
I would love to. So if you're standing or if you're seating, just try to bring the feet onto the ground. Maybe lift your toes, softly draw them to the floor, and bring the right hand to belly, left hand to heart. Just for a moment, just feel the connection of your hands on your body. Let's take a deep breath in through the nose, out the mouth. Just bring your awareness to your feet. As your awareness draws up, take a breath in. Elongate through your spine. Bring your awareness to the top of the head. And as you exhale, bring that awareness back down through the body and through the feet. So as you inhale, there's this upward lift of energy. And as you exhale, grounding down. Breathing in. Breathing out. And as you continue to breathe, just feeling your entire body as one. Completely connected. Completely whole. Just find another clearing breath in through the nose, out the mouth, knowing that you are always connected to your body at any time, and that the breath is so powerful. Bringing awareness to your heart, where we receive and give love. Sending that love to yourself. Breathe in. And let it go. Just bring the palms together at heart center and just rub the hands. Create that friction, that heat. Good. And palms back to the heart. Inhale. Let it go. As you slowly blink the eyes back open, just notice the colors. Notice what you see. Notice how you feel.
Jay, what was that like for you?
Oh, this, we've done this in class. So yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a mover. I don't know if you noticed, but I start to actually tornado a bit. I go back and forth and I start to spin. So that's something for me when I'm channeling that energy, I move. So if you guys couldn't sit still or you felt yourself swaying back and forth and you felt off balance, that's okay. You might not be meant to stay still during those times. So for me, I'm a mover when I bring the energy in. That's what I notice. And I, you know, even before that, we had to do that with our hands. Jay, did you notice your hands were already tingling?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So just notice that, folks. Like, those are the little knowings. Those are the things. When you become more connected with yourself, slow yourself down. That is energy building in these areas, and play with that. Let yourself notice that. Take 2 minutes and focus maybe before bedtime on different areas of your body, or repeat that practice. And really start to like capture and grab where those sensations are and see if you can build on them. And I think that what we've said in this episode will start to make more and more sense to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is also why when I'm doing trauma work with people, I tell them the part of your body that's activated, touch it. Touch it so you can physically send your energy to it, but you also touch it to acknowledge it and validate it too. But there's so many different things happening on those levels. So we want people to start being aware of the energy that they carry. Thank you, Val. We could talk forever about this.
Forever.
Ever and ever. And we'll have Val back again because she also does reflexology, and that's pretty amazing too.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to all of you for listening. I don't think that we've ever done that.
Aw, we do. We do give them thanks, but thanks again.
Yes.
You're amazing.
We'll be back next week with your next favorite episode. Until then, I'm Jason.
I'm Jolene.
Talk to you then.